Well, we had a beautiful Bible study last week, and I've really enjoyed speaking the word with you, Sister Carter, and had a great time last week. How are you doing tonight?
I am blessed and I'm excited about another Bible study.
Amen. Amen. So, how was your day today?
It was amazing because God was with me the whole day.
Really?
Yes.
Well, are there any testimonies today?
Well, my testimony is going to be part of what I'm speaking about for Bible study.
Okay, well, I don't want you to give it up yet. This, I won't pressure you to talk about it ahead of time. So
Okay.
that sounds like it's gonna be very, very exciting. Amen.
It is.
Well, okay, listen. Let's get started. Okay? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for today. Thank you for time itself, Lord. For we're the only ones that live by time, for we know you don't, Lord. But we thank you that through time, we're able to see you come through in our time and in our lives. We praise and thank you for all things in heaven and in earth. We invite the Holy Spirit of promise into this meeting and into our lives. And Father, it is our greatest hope for revelation knowledge to continue to flow tonight, unhindered, unchecked by any force. And Father, we also pray for those that had a heart to be here and wanted to be here, but could not make it. So we pray for them. And Father, we thank you that all things are possible to those who believe. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So
Amen.
listen, we're gonna see the Bible study that we're talking about tonight. We are praying for some of those that want to be here but can't be here tonight. We also want to pray for those that had a heart and a desire but didn't know where to go. Some of those were afraid. Some of those had fears that kept them from coming tonight. And we pray that they make it to someplace that God's word is being spread. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want to thank those who did make it. Now, tonight, we are going to go over some favorite scriptures that are, that we feel that we can explain to you and that you get revelation from it and that it increases your spiritual vocabulary. Now, Sister Carter, tonight, I'm excited for what you said, but I'm going to get it started off
Okay.
by reading a scripture tonight. And this scripture is one that is very important to each and every one of us. Amen. And it says, if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We're talking about Mark chapter 3 and verse 24 through verse 26. So verse 24 and 25 is what we're talking about in Mark chapter 3. And it's really talking about how if our loyalties are divided up. This is just an example. Our loyalties are divided up. What we're standing for is not going to stand. What we're doing is not going to stand. Okay? Because our purpose is divided. Where we're going and what we're doing in life is divided. So, and it just told you, a house divided will fall. So, Scott, what do you think about that?
That is so true. A house cannot be divided and stand. You can't have even people at agreement, families who are in a disagreement with each other, they can't even stand together as a family. So if you are not standing as one, then you're separate. You've got to continue to have the same mind. You have to be able to work together in order for you to be able to accomplish anything.
What do you think about a husband and a wife that, they're just divided on everything? They can't get on the same page on different issues, and they just continue to have contention in the relationship and different arguments about different things. What do you think about that relationship?
Well, the word talks about a husband and wife coming together as one. So when you're saying one, it's not one person. It's not one person have authority over the other one. It's having one mindset and coming into agreement. So the husband and a wife are going to have to be able to come together as one mindset and agree with each other. It doesn't mean that one takes more control over the other, or the other one has to be submissive to the point where they don't have a voice. But what it's saying is that when you come together as husband and wife, you have an understanding of each other to where you come into an agreement. And you've got to put God in the middle of all of that. And once you put him in the middle of all of that, you come into that covenant with him. And so now it's three. And once you are in that covenant and that agreement, you got to talk, you got to pray, you got to stay together, you got to just continue to work together so that now you're working as one mindset instead of being divided, like I want my way, he wants his way. There's not a his or her way in marriage. Is one mind. We're working together as husband and wife.
Well, some people have kind of a challenge because they're saying, well, I come from a different background and I see things different from you. And I'm a man and I see things different. And you, the lady says, I'm a woman and I see things different. But I don't think that that is an excuse why they should have so much contention in a relationship. I think something you said was very important. That covenant that we have with God is more important than both of those arguments. And this is why I would say that. Because when you have a covenant with God and you keep him in the middle, then it gives you a reason to try or to work at coming in agreement, because God says that we should love each other, that we should work to do everything we can do to be together, okay, to be one voice. And as we do those things, I think that we reach a goal in life that many of us don't have.
I think one thing that I've seen, and I'm speaking from within our marriage, is that praying with your spouse is very important. Because when you're praying with your spouse, you are standing with your spouse and you are praying and asking God to cover your marriage to where you all are coming into agreement, like that covenant says, you're coming into agreement as one. And so we have to understand we all are individuals. Yes, that's true. We all have different ways of doing things. We have different actions. We don't want the other person trying to rule over us. We don't want to be exactly like the other person, because then if you like the other person, then you won't be any different. I mean, it'll be sometimes being like the other person is hard to get along with them. So you don't give up your individuality, but what you do is that you come to agreement under God through prayer as to how to be directed within your marriage, within the things that you are trying to get accomplished, so that when you pray together, it's almost like both of you all come up with the same answer. So with my husband and I, when that happens to us a lot, because we're constantly staying in prayer, but we're also speaking and communicating with each other and checking and saying, well, what do you think about this? Oh, I heard that too. Well, let's do that. So we know that we're in agreement with one another and with God, because we both heard the same thing through prayer.
Well, this is something that we've been doing for a long time. And we do have guidelines to help structure our marriage. We have rules and we have guidelines. And so one of them is we never go to bed mad, okay? The other one is we try to work together for one goal, because we are one. That's what God sees us as, one in the marriage, okay? We're not two. We're not separate. We are one. So it's important that we come together and walk in agreement as one. And it's not always my way. It's not always her way. We sit down and make a plan and we stick with it. We go to it and we keep God in the middle. We keep God being the glue that we need to keep us going together, working together, and seeing from one eye, not two.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this is not only important in marriage, which we talked about tonight, but what about in business, in friendship, okay? And many other areas of our lives, we need to take it easy. Slow down, take a breath, and take your time with life and try to work things out. Don't leave and be all upset and, you know, talking about each other. And you have to confront these issues in life, because let me tell you, sin and sin nature is all over the place and looking for other places to get into and other things to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. All right? But Jesus, the word says, I came that thou might have life and that thou might have it abundantly. And that's what we want to do. We want to have the abundance in our relationships, in our friendship, in our business arrangements. Keep God in the middle. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm excited to hear that scripture and that testimony that you've been holding on to.
Okay, so I'm a teacher by trade. So today I had an opportunity to take my students on a field trip to hear the symphony here in Houston. And I was really excited about going. It took a lot of planning and it took a lot of work, but what I was excited about today was the way that everything went. And the reason being is because I knew that God was there. I knew that the Holy Spirit worked everything out before we left during the day. It's just like going through a perfect day with no problems, which is what we want every day. But you get that by following the Spirit, listening to God, being obedient. And, you know, that just makes me just think about the scriptures, which we're going to go over, that is truth, because everything that I'm telling you exactly is what happened today. So we had about 72 children that we took. We had no incident, no problems, no one hurt, no one got sick, no accidents. Everything was just basically laid out. And we had a person who was absent, and we were trying to figure out who we were going to get to take that person's place. Well, God already had that taken care of too, because one of our teachers got a sub for her classroom, a substitute for a classroom, which she didn't need, but we did because that's the person we used in place of the one that wasn't
Yeah,
there. So
amen.
it's not like we were racking our brains trying to figure out what to do. It was everything was just laid out. That's all I could say. God had laid everything out for us. So
Amen.
what I want to do is I want to go through the scriptures to kind of show you how things worked out, because you still have to put in the work, but God will take the things that you do, and if you're obedient and you follow it, He'll make your way perfect and establish it for you.
Amen.
So we're going to start off with Proverbs 3. If you go to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, y'all get your Bibles and kind of follow. I'm trying not to take a long time to do this, but I kind of want to take you on this journey so you can understand, why I was so excited today. You can understand how God worked everything out. So, Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight."
Amen.
So that's what I was doing today. The beginning of the day kind of started off with a little bit of hesitation and a little bit of nervousness, because I wasn't too sure about how everything was going to go, because I have been planning this for months, for about a month or so. And even though you put everything in place the way that you wanted to go, you still have that, feeling like, oh, what happened? So I may not do this right, or this may not come out right. So this morning I went into prayer before I left for school, and I asked God to make my way straight, to cover me today, to let me know everything that I need to do, and just take over. That's basically what I said. Just take the day over,
Yeah.
give me peace. Give me peace more than I would ever understand, and the spirit of cooperation, just be there. So
Amen.
go to Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 16, and we're going to go to verse 9. Because when he says, if you submit to him, he would direct your path, you can still plan. You still plan your way. But God needs to tell you how to put that plan in place. So what you're doing is listening for the plan that he's giving you so that you can put it in place.
Amen.
Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." So through the earlier weeks when I was planning, I was always trying to listen to him tell me what to do. You need to do this. You need to take care of that. You need to do this. So I kept trying to follow him and let him guide me through the whole process. And then 16:9 also says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. So it doesn't mean that you don't plan. You plan, but you listen to him and he will guide you as to what you need to do exactly. So that's what happened today. Everything was planned out, but there are times that you're going like, I'm not sure what happens, and there's all these ifs and buts and whatevers. That's where you have to trust in God. You have to just trust and say, I'm giving this to you. You direct it. You do your thing. I'm going to do the best that I can. And so with that today, that's exactly what happened, because I know the spirit was all over our trip. He put people in place that we didn't know where they were going to come from. He made doors open when they were closed. It's just everything was just perfect. That's all I could say. So I know that was God working today. And in listening to the Holy Spirit, when you're doing planning, when you're listening to the Spirit, you're listening to the Spirit of God, and His voice is not, you know, those big booming voices that they do on television. He speaks to you quietly through the Holy Spirit, and He just tells you, you know, with me, it's like, you need to do this or do that. It's a directive with me, and it may be different with other people, but He is always speaking to you. But you got to be quiet and listen and obedient. And once you obey Him and follow Him, that's when God really shows Himself.
Amen.
And it was such a blessing. That's all I could say. It was just a blessing to be at peace and have everything to work out the way it did.
Well, how wonderful it is to see you so excited about the word and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Being able to hear His voice is so great, because that way you got the steps that God has ordered for you. You know, you hearing the voice of God, you're walking down the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And so you can't beat that. That's it. It doesn't get any better than that. And you let somebody tell you that, you listen. But I'm telling you, it does not get any better than hearing the Holy Spirit and then following it. When you follow it, you're walking down the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen.
Now, let me add one more thing, too.
Okay.
So let me also add as well, when you listen to the Spirit and you actually follow God's directions, everything is so much easier. But when you go off that course and you say, no, I'm not going to do it that way, or you follow the way that you think you're going to go, you have to understand that you're responsible for anything other than what God said. And it may not turn out as well as you think it is.
Amen.
So when we leave that course and we're disobedient, it doesn't work out. But when you stay on that path, God lays it out for you.
Amen. Amen. Well, I've got a beautiful scripture. And it kind of correlates to what you just did in that scripture, because, you know, it talks about how we enter God's rest. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and 11. Come on, Bible scholars. Let's go. Come on down to Hebrews and let's go to chapter 4, verse 11. This is what it says. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now let's break that scripture down. It says, let us labor. So that's telling you there's some work involved in resting in God's peace. So you have to work it. It's not just something that falls in your lap. A lot of people think, oh, well, I've come to God now and I'm with God now. So that's all it takes. No, because you got to fight sometimes with your own self. You got a fight going on in your own mind. And so you have to labor. That means you have to work to enter that rest. A lot of thoughts come up on the inside of you. Things come up on the inside of you that you did years ago. You know, different events that you've been a part of that regurgitates. Anything to distract you from your pathway comes up. And you have to be ready to labor. Sometimes you have to start right there and say, I cast that thought out in the name of Jesus. I bind that thought, okay? And send it to outer darkness. But you have to work on yourself to make sure that it does not reach your heart. Because when it reaches your heart, guess what? Many times you perform it. When it reaches your heart, you're going to do it. So I'm just telling you, it says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Okay, it goes on in verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Woo! That's a lot. But we're going to go over this because I want you to understand this scripture because it has great meaning and it says a lot in just a very short time. It says the word of God is quick and powerful. That means it's alive. It's not what we think. These are just words that we speak or that we're, you know, saying or that we're reading. These words in the Bible are alive. It says they're quick and powerful. It says they're sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, what does a two-edged sword do? If you're going in the right direction and doing the right thing, that edge will cut for you. But if you're going in the wrong direction and doing the wrong things, then it will cut you. You will feel it. The words will come up on the inside of you telling you, don't do that, or you're doing the wrong thing, or it's not going to work. These words are coming up on the inside of you. That's the word cutting. That's that double-edged sword coming to you. Okay? It says it pierces even to the dividing asunder. That means it goes down deep into your soul and your spirit and your joints and your marrow. Why? Because nothing is hidden from the sight of God. He sees everything. So his word goes down. You know, we might not can see your heart. You might be faking us out. You might be part actress or actor. So we can't tell you, you know, you're playing a game. Okay? Or what we used to call you selling wolf tickets. Or what they say in the New Age, are you selling concert tickets? You know, concert tickets to a concert that you don't even plan to be there. Okay? So let me keep going now. And it says it goes down to the joints and the marrow. The marrow is on the inside of your bones. So this is what it's telling you that the word does. That's that double-edged sword. It goes down everywhere. You cannot hide from God. And it ends up with is that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. What do you think about that, Sister Carter?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about reading the word and how the word is actually, you know, this spiritual food. You're being fed. God is feeding your spirit through his word. He's feeding your body. And the word does go through your whole body. You know, if you ever thought about how you got through praising God or singing a song, and then when you get done, you just feel good all over and your body just moves and you're feeling great and you just want to just dance. Well, that's the word that is taking place in your spirit. And so it is going through your body because it's powerful, it's active, it's not dead. The word of God is alive. And so even when you're speaking healing words, that word gets into your body and it just goes through every cell, every portion, every part of your body to heal it. So the word is active and it is powerful. And whatever God's word says, it actually is sent out to perform what it is meant to do. So when you speak in that word and you ask him for healing, you speak those words of healing and the word of God will go out and it will perform the act of healing.
Amen.
Because that's what it was supposed to do. So yes, it is powerful, and it does go through every part, every joint, every marrow, every part of your body. And well, it does know the intents of your heart.
Yes, yes, that's right. So this is why I'm saying, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. So that means that when you reach that plateau, when you're listening to the Holy Spirit, when you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you obey that voice, you are entering into that rest. That means you don't, go ahead, what is it?
Let me bring up one thing that kind of helps you with that when you're talking about entering that work, that rest, because you talked about thoughts. So one thing I wanted to bring up was a scripture, and then we'll return to what you were saying, but I just want to add this to kind of help build what you're saying. If we go to 2 Corinthians 10, and we go to verse 4. So 10, verse 4, 2 Corinthians, it says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Strongholds are those things that are holding you back, that are setting itself up to keep you from moving into God's will. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Amen. So when we're talking about thought, you got to take that thought captive. Whatever that negative thought is, you take it captive. You bring it in obedience to Christ. And the way you do that is by speaking the word. And then be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete, is which verse 6 says.
Amen.
But that means that once the obedience is, but once you're obedient to the word, everything else after that that comes into disobedience to go against what you spoke, you got to cast it down. So that's exactly what Elder's talking about, casting those thoughts down, bringing it into obedience.
Amen. Well, she said it. But one thing you got to know that we both talked about, the word is alive. It's not dead. And she mentioned something that you could sing a song and you feel so good, or, you know, you could read the word and all of a sudden all that pressure and that anxiety that was upon you has disappeared. All of a sudden, you're looking at life a new way. And that lets you know that the word is alive. And entering that rest is so important, because when you enter that rest, you don't have to make decisions. You go to God and ask him what he wants you to do, and he will lead you down that pathway of righteousness. And we need to do that all the day long, not just in the morning, not just in the night. You do it all the day long. And I tell you, when you do that, that is what it means by you enter into his rest, because you rest from you having to figure it out. You don't have to figure it out anymore. You don't have to go through it. You don't have to go ask your homegirl or your homeboy or your best friend or your psychiatrist or anybody else, because you got it from the creator of the universe. And the last part of that, verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest. That means not made known in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So what is this telling you? It's telling you that everything in God's eyes, you can't hide. Okay? He sees everything. All right? So when it told you, it went down to the joints and the marrow, which is on the inside of the bone. And then this scripture reaffirms it. It's telling you, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known in his sight. Amen. All right, I pass back over to you, Sister Carter.
Okay. Well, God sees everything. And we have to really watch ourselves, watch what we do, watch what we say, because the Bible also talks about that every word is recorded and that we have to be, that we will be held accountable even for the words that we speak out of just, you know, conversation. So we know that God is watching everything. So we want to please him, and we want to live a godly life. Amen. So we have to really watch the things that we do, what we say, how we behave, how we act. And I think we talked about last week how you have people who are looking at your walk, and they're looking at the way that you behave as a Christian. And so we've got to separate ourselves, and we have to do our best to walk that walk. And, you know, we're not perfect. There's no one perfect except Jesus. And we do what we try to do the best that we can, and we ask for forgiveness and not repeat those sins. But we gotta grow. You know, we can't just ask for forgiveness and keep doing the same thing over and over and over, because that's just crazy. You know, after a while, it's good, like, look, man, that's messing up. God's gonna put a stop to it. But we have to continue to try our best, ask for forgiveness, move forward, and go from grace to grace. Just keep walking, keep praying, keep trying. Because God's grace and God's mercy is what gets us through everything.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I'm so excited. I got to read the rest of that to you, okay? It says, verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed on into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. It says, let us hold fast our profession. What does it mean by our profession? I think it means that we just need to hold fast to what we're doing with the Holy Spirit. What are we confessing every day? That we are children of the Most High God, right? And that we walk in righteousness. This is our profession of faith. You understand? So it's telling you, hold fast to it, to your profession of faith. Don't let it go. Don't give it up. Don't walk away from it. It may not give you what you want instantly at that moment. But, you know, our walk is supposed to be for eternity. And it's supposed to be all day, every day, and not just for a moment. Not just because we want this to happen right now and we need to show everybody that this is God, or that God is here. Hit them with a lightning bolt, Lord. That's not the way God works. And sometimes there are steps or stages to what we're asking God to do for us. So it may not be that he can come through and show himself approved before your people, okay? Yeah. Right there at that moment. So we have to stay focused, stay grounded. And the Bible says, hold fast to your profession of faith. Amen? And we go on to say, this is what it says. Verse 15 says, now we're at Hebrews chapter 4. Now verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means God understands what we go through. But our high priest is Jesus, and he walked this earth, so he knows what we go through in these bodies that we live in. He knows how it feels to be in a body. So it's telling you, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen?
Amen.
So here's what it says to end that scripture out. Verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we have obtained mercy, or that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need, or in time of need.
Amen.
So do you understand what it's saying? It says, go boldly to the throne. Don't go like a weakling. Don't go feeling like, oh, I think God's going to come. I don't know. Listen, keep your faith. Stay grounded and rooted in the word of God. It says, come boldly to the throne. Okay? It says, the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. So when you go there, you're looking for mercy. And it is the throne of grace. All right? It says that we find grace to help in time of need. So when you hear these things, you know that you need to go to God for all things, not just some things. And not just because you know how to handle this or that, because he may want you to take another direction or go another way, even though you know how to do it and you may have done it many, many times before. But there, going to the kingdom, going to the Holy Spirit, okay? God may tell you to go another way, but you can only find that out by going back to him for each and everything you're going through the day. That's how you rest in God's peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Is there anything else tonight, Sister Carla?
Well, let's go back for just a second, because within that, we all also wanted to talk about relationship with God, a relationship with Christ. Because, you know, we let religion, we let denominational practices and all that get in the way. And some people kind of feel like you can't talk to God, or you got to go through somebody else to talk to God, or you have to go through somebody else to have your sin forgiven, or that he's not going to listen to you when you pray. You know, people have all kind of different misconceptions about God. But we have to know that he's our Heavenly Father, and that his son, Jesus Christ, is our high priest. So we can go to Jesus and pray, and he will hear us. And he washes our prayers clean and presents them to the Father. So we can come to him and speak to God, and just speak to him just like you would speak to your father or your mother, or someone very close and very dear, because that's what God is. He's our Heavenly Father, and that's who you can go to. You don't have to have other people to intervene for you. If you establish your relationship with him through prayer, you will be able to speak to him, and God will hear you and have mercy. And it's through his grace that we are able to overcome.
Amen. Amen. That's very good. You made some very good and strategic points then, because we do need to go to him. And Jesus is not only our high priest, but he's our intercessor. He intercedes for us. God does not see you. He sees Jesus coming to him for you. So, you know, if he saw us and how sinful we are, he'd really be upset. Why is this person coming to me? You 5 minutes ago, you did such and such. So we have to go in Jesus' name. When we say in Jesus' name, then Jesus intercedes on our behalf for what you are praying for.
Amen.
So stay behind Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Stay with the word of God. And just like she said, talk to him like you're talking to your own father, because he is your own father. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Any more of that gold or silver you got to bring tonight?
I think that's it for me.
Amen. Well, listen, I have enjoyed it totally. I hope you have enjoyed it tonight. And we're going to end this session with a prayer. Sister Carter, would you take us out?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to come together as the body of Christ and to learn of you. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom and the knowledge that you have given to us tonight to impart to others so that they can grow in the word. We're praying that the seed was planted on good ground and that it's fruitful and that it grows and that it fulfills the destiny and the lives of everyone who is listening to fulfill the purpose that God has given us. We pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, that we stand strong, that we take captive those thoughts that come into disobedience against Christ, that will try to steal the word away from us as soon as we hear it. We just thank you, Father God, that it's planted and rooted. And we pray, Father, for each and every listener to continue to keep praying and standing on the word and to give their lives to you in obedience. We thank you, Father, for Elder. We thank you for the word that he is giving. We thank you for all that he's doing, Father, to raise up the ministry and the word of God. And we pray for each and every person that's listening, oh Lord, that their lives be fruitful and that they are blessed in all things that they do. We praise you, Heavenly Father, and we give you the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful prayer. What a wonderful prayer. Well, we're going to end it tonight, and we thank everybody for coming, and we pray God's blessing be upon you tonight, and we thank God. Thank him for his day and for his love, for his grace, for his mercy. Thank Amen. You, Father. Amen. Y'all enjoy Amen. Yourselves. Tomorrow is another day. Give God the grace. Give him the mercy. Have a great day today.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
God bless you too.
Thank you.